You sign in big doo doo now.
Because I wrote down a shit ton of notes, and I did look back over that line. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna have to mention that line when he's like, oh, Jaja used to be, oh, fucking hell, dude. Oh my, like, what the ignoring the rest of the movie, right? Ignoring the weird mess, like the lack of direction of the plot or the characters. Why do they have what? Why? Why do the Gungans sound like that? What were they trying to accomplish? What was the vision here by Mr. George Lucas for making Jar Jar Binks and his whole entire race just sound like a weird, like, ugh.
It's kind of like, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it kind of sounds like Rastafarian, right? A little bit, like, yeah, that sort of accent, but then they horribly misfigured it.
It does feel like some sort of, yeah, a weird racial stereotype going on. Also, like, you get the feeling that the Trade Federation aliens sounded like Asian stereotypes. Are they supposed to be Asian people?
Okay, yeah, I wasn't sure that's what it was meant to be.
Oh, hey, we will not allow the blockade.
Man, that could have been me. They should have just hired me for that part.
Yeah, 1999. We were three.
Perfect.
They got actually, a 9-year-old so, in wait, there.
This movie is rated PG, right?
Oh, I'm assuming. Yeah,
I checked.
No,
yeah,
swearing. There's no blood.
There's some violence, but
it's violence. But
you know, I know I'm kind of jumping ahead here, but tonally speaking, like, they're probably thinking, oh, it's a stupid kids movie, so let's just put stupid things in there, like stupid lines like Yusa in big doo-doo now.
Or my favorite, Yusa thinking Yusa people gonna die? And that's a scene where Jar Jar is trying to show, like, concern to Padme / Queen Amidala,
yeah,
slash
no,
who the fuck
I
it
remember.
Is. Don't know which one it is. Maybe it's a decoy. I don't know. Why does she need a decoy? They're not trying to kill her. They're like, yo, we don't want to kill you. You need to sign the treaty. Why does she need a fucking decoy?
Wow, I like how you're this pointing out the plot
this
holes too
this
early.
Isn't the second movie yet where the decoy
ahead.
Died.
Way okay, too yeah, ahead, too. Yeah, pause yourself there. But welcome, folks, to the Spotter Pod. As always, it is I, Jeffrey Excellence, and with me, my magnificent co-host.
Oh, God.
The big ho, big O, big Kahuna, Ophi, Twinkle Toes / Frizzy Hair / Is It an Afro, Is It Not? / Big Kahuna times Big O, repeating, drinking from a mug.
Yeah, drinking some Kona coffee, actually. Yeah, that's coffee from Hawaii. So,
Wow. Yeah. Are you Hawaiian?
I mean, I was born there, but grew up in Vegas. We moved here when I was 3 years old. So
in Vegas,
for all intents and purposes, I'm a Las Vegasan, vegan, Las Vegan. I don't know.
Las Veganite.
Weren't you born in here too? You're born and raised.
Born and raised. Yep.
Yeah. Damn. Why
we'll
is it 119? Why is it 119 degrees right now?
Because, like, fuck, at least your AC works properly. It was 108 in Reno in our shitty apartment's AC. Actually, there's also, I think it wouldn't even be as hot as it is, but there's a forest fire nearby. So that's kind of like,
It's bad.
So not only is that bad for the people living there, but also people nearby because it's, of course, going to raise the temperature to insane levels.
Damn. Well, enough talking about that hot mess, and let's talk about our hot mess of a podcast and our hot mess of a topic today. Well, it is the Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, but I think before we get into that, we have any lingering thoughts on last week's episode, The Loser by Thomas Bernard. A very interesting novel, to say the least.
Yeah, for me, the only lingering thought I really have is I don't think we really discussed in depth, or at least to a point, who the loser applies to as an audience. And I'd like to get your thoughts on that. Because, you know, that's something we always try to do at the end of our
Okay.
I thought podcast, you were like who does this apply to that would enjoy this form of media?
I thought you meant like, oh, who in the audience is
a loser?
The loser. Like, that's a very interesting question.
Yeah, Craig, you piece of shit. God damn, never seen such a jabroni in my entire life.
Right, I'm wondering, Craig is the weird Discord recording thing we use. It's not an actual person. Please don't
that they know.
Don't assume.
Allegedly.
I mean, yeah, if your name's Craig, you know, I'm sure you're probably cool, maybe. Yeah. Not gonna promise anything. Yeah, no, because it's one of those books, I'm sure, you know, novels written in, I want to say it's like 19.
And it's a foreign novel too, mind you. It's not.
Yeah,
from
it was
America.
originally written in German by an Austrian back in like the 40s or something. So I don't know, people who read books back in the 40s, like, I don't know. I mean, I know his works. I did mention that his works were, I think, banned in Austria, or he didn't want to publish because, you know, I said before that he's very like critical about like Austrian culture and politics in his books and his works. And a lot of people take it as like, oh, you know, he's being anti-nationalist and he sucks because he's calling our country stupid poo-poo.
big doo-doo, one might big, say.
Big doo-doo. Yeah, I guess. One, what was his name? Big Boss Nass?
I don't know.
I only know Jar Jar and Anakin. I'm a human, Annie. And my name is Anakin.
Annie.
Reminded me of B-movie when he's calling the girl Vanny.
Oh, my God.
Not a good comparison, goodness. By the way. That's
no,
bad,
I think that that is an appropriate comparison. I think that makes sense.
More like if I'm comparing you to the B movie, that's not a good sign for either piece of media. But no, yeah, I don't know, people who read novels, the Austrian public,
people who can read, very very astute observation. No, I think for those with who have very unique taste in their novella, I think this book can really approach that. Those who kind of enjoy reading like those nihilistic point of view types of stories. And it's a short story too, right? But I think for a more general audience, this book doesn't really apply to.
Yeah, no, because Bernard's entire like library is very unique. Like, it's not just this. It's kind of known for being out there. I think the copy that we read even has a thing for like, oh, for English viewers, get ready, because this dude writes really fucking weird. Like, it had a little excerpt at the beginning there. Yeah, no, it's very interesting, very intriguing way to write. But yeah.
No, it's special and unique. Like, I don't think it was written this way because of a poor direction. It was just more, that was the decision the author pursued. So it's definitely an interesting read. If for those who can stomach it. But let's talk about something that was a little more painful to stomach. Today's topic on the Spotter Pod, today's Spod, Star Wars, The Phantom Menace. Give me a quick overview of Star Wars.
Or more like Star Wars, The Fandom Mess-ass, am I right? God, this movie's a fucking mess. I don't... Ugh. Like, everything is just like okay, Star Wars original trilogy. I've actually never really seen any of the original trilogy in full, right? But I get the general gist of the stories. We're following Luke Skywalker. It's his journey through space and with a couple, you know, other characters. Got Han Solo. You got Obi-Wan, his mentor. You know, got Leia, the weird sister / princess, he doesn't know, but you know, whatever. Got the girl,
the sister that he kisses.
Yeah, and you know, it's the hero's journey. It's a classic, you know, trope. And now we get to the prequels. You know, George Lucas now, no executive meddling. Like, he's the guy behind most of this stuff. And what does he offer up?
Midichlorians.
Taxes? Trade blockades?
No, but politics? See, they're taxed too high. It's
are
too
they
highly taxed?
It just says that, like, taxes, like the taxation those of Asian, trade routes are in
those
dispute.
Asian-esque trade-fed aliens are taxing way too high, and now they're invading stuff onto the Naboo. I don't know why they call it the Naboo instead of just Naboo.
It's like
they're
the
invading
Ohio
the
State.
Naboo.
The
what?
The Ohio State
University. Oh,
yeah. That's what people say. I remember.
I've heard that. But a quick overview. So, you know, I actually thought it was an interesting choice because I didn't realize when I was a child this is how the movies came out. But Star Wars Episode 4, 5, and 6 came out in, what, 70s and 80s, right?
Yeah.
And then that was just the original plan. And then they came back with the Episodes 1, 2, and 3, the prequels, in order to build up into 4, 5, and 6. So
I actually wonder, were they calling them 4, 5, and 6 like back in the 70s and 80s? I don't know.
I think they
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure Star Wars released as just Star Wars. Like the first one, what was it, New Hope? Right, that's the first one. I think retroactively subtitled. Okay, oh. Yeah. So they came out. They came out like Star Wars 1977. It's just Star Wars, and then
Star
two,
Wars
just,
New Hope,
and then we got Empire Strikes Back. And then you got Return of the Jedi. Yeah. And yeah, I think, back then they didn't have the numbers. And then they're like, let's do some sequels. And then they're like, okay, those were. Yeah, now I remember being confused as shit, too. Because I remember Episode 3 came out. And I'm like, okay, that's the third one. And then I remember reading, wait, there's like 5 others? What?
It's the third movie, but it's the 6th one released of the series, right?
Yeah, it's kind of. I mean, I guess nothing wrong with doing prequels. It's not the first series.
Phantom Menace is the precursor, or not precursor, but it's the first movie of the prequel trilogy, and it follows the story of a young Anakin Skywalker. And I'm just gonna do a really light spoiler here because obviously everyone should know this or is aware of this. But
it's over 20 years old. Yeah,
it's a very popular pop culture reference, right? But
it's been known. Yeah.
Anakin Skywalker is Darth Vader, so we're going to follow Anakin Skywalker's journey in these three movies.
I guess so. I guess he's the main character, but how come we have to wait 30 minutes to get to the main character?
Because Qui-Gon, and Liam Neeson doesn't come cheap, so we need to use Liam Neeson. That's the reason.
Is that why they killed him off at the end? Because they're like, we can't get him from the
prison. Well, we couldn't. Yeah, I was about to say we can't afford him for the second act, so we gotta keep him only for one.
But yeah, like it's we meet little boy Anakin on Tatooine, and he eventually saves the day by fucking accident.
You know, at least when like Luke Skywalker was a young, inexperienced pilot, I could believe like him blowing up Death Star, right? Because he was in a coordinated team effort; it was organized such and such, right? But meanwhile, and I know we're skipping ahead here, folks. But no,
it's
this
fine.
What is he? A 9-year-old?
He's just 9. All he was told by Qui-Gon: stay in the cockpit. Which has its own problems. Why did he bring him to the battlefield? Whatever. We'll get to that later.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my fucking God. That makes no sense. That makes no sense. But point being, he saves Padme, which is good. Right? He saves Padme and those other Coruscant natives, right, by shooting at them. But then he has to fly into space in autopilot, destroys the Trade Federation battleship, on autopilot and on accident, and then survives. And everyone's like, who's that guy? Like, oh, surprise. It's 9-year-old Annie.
It's Annie. Okay.
But yeah, we're jumping ahead of ourselves. So
yeah.
A quick overview. Yeah. First episode of the Star Wars prequel trilogy. Yep.
Yeah.
So let's get into these.
Shit happens.
Yeah. Shit.
Yes.
Get into these themes and tones. Why don't you talk us through what you typed here?
So I guess one of the themes is like you got the Gungan people and the Naboos. They don't like each other, but then at the end,
the underwater duck people,
And then the normal human people don't like each other, but then they're like, they just come together because the queen bowed.
That's good. Because Padme said so.
Yeah.
So why did Padme? Wait. So what I don't understand is why did they have to pull the diversion of Padme being the queen instead of the actual queen just being the queen?
I have a reveal, I guess.
But I mean, like, was it a reveal that she was the real queen? Was she meant? Yeah. Was she always meant to be the real queen? Like, they never hinted at that until that moment, right?
No, because they had Padme go on to the handmaiden of the queen. Because yeah. I think their logic is okay. She says this to instill trust to the Gungan people. He's like, hey, you know, this is a secret. This is supposed to be a big secret about our politics, that I'm the real queen and that's a decoy. Therefore, you know, and then also bowing. So, you know, please help us in this.
Okay,
time
so why did they have that in the first place?
I don't.
Why did everyone
exactly?
Treat the, why did everyone treat the original queen as if she was actually the queen? As far as like the Interplanetary Senate Federation, stupid like, shit.
It because
and then even the Trade Federation even acknowledges Amidala as the original queen. Like they're like, oh, Padme is a distraction. That's the and I thought that was the original reason of why Padme was the fake queen. But then at the end of the movie, Padme is presented as the real queen. Like she has the big stupid dress and gives whatever lightning orb to boss Jar Jar or boss Gungan. Oh, so I'm just so confused about that reveal.
Okay, because I only kind of know about it because I know in episode 2, I think it's 2 or 3.
But see, like that's kind of unfair, right?
It's I know like, it's unfair, but like no,
you're retroactively fixing your mess.
yeah, I know, right? Like because that actually comes into play in a future movie. Because here it makes no fucking like there's no reason. They actively say, "Hey, we need you alive to sign the treaty. We're not gonna kill you, right?" And I guess until Lord Sidious kill them all. I'm pretty sure he says kill them all.
Yeah,
so I don't know.
Well, because Darth Sidious is Darth Sidious, right? No, but something that they always say, you know, this is a good example of telling, not showing. Uh-huh, they always say, yeah. "Oh, the Coruscant people, my people are dying. My people are dying."
Yeah, well, they're in trouble.
Let's see what people?
I don't
Let's
think we've ever seen.
See
we have never seen. See we never see anyone. Any Nabooians? That's what I'm calling them. Nabooians. We never see any of the suffering that the droid army or the Trade Federation is instilling.
Is imposing all
we see,
on them.
Yeah, all we see is Pat maybe like, my people are suffering. I must go. that's the level of direction and acting that was going on too.
You know, I'm not even really gonna blame the actors.
Yeah, no, I don't blame them.
Like, I feel like a lot of that's more like, oh, I don't know who was the official director, but fuck George Lucas.
No, I wouldn't blame the actors themselves. It's the way that they were fucking directed. Like there was, there weren't
sand.
Like, not yet. We're not at sand yet. I kind of, you know, honest. I kind of want to do the other two. I think we need to finish it out someday. Maybe not immediately. We need a break. I had to take a couple breaks watching this because I was like, oh my god, I need to. I'm like 20 minutes in. I've had sand. You know. No, stop. Not yet. We're not at sand yet. We gotta calm down.
Oh my god.
I mean, the one positive I feel the prequels have is that it's spawned plenty of meme material, right? Oh god. But yeah, no, themes and tones. I don't know. Theme, the Force, I guess, because it is. It's, okay, this is supposed to be Anakin's story, but I feel like the Jedi are like kind of barely in the background. They're not the main focus of the story, right?
I mean, Qui-Gon like, and Kenobi are like. They do take up a lot of the screen time, if not the majority of the screen time. So, actually, if there has to be one thing I would say is a quote-unquote theme, is that the Force is the guiding... Because Qui-Gon always just says that bullshit of like, oh, the Force will guide us, or the Force will put you where you need to be. Hey, you can't hear my my tower fan, right?
A tiny bit. That's fine. Don't worry about it.
Try to fix that. But point being, like, throughout the movie, Qui-Gon says a lot of shit like, oh, trust the Force, which is probably That's a reoccurring theme.
He straight up drops "Don't think, feel" on Annie.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So if anything, that is kind of how these characters are guided through each plot point. And like Kenobi's like, "Why the fuck are we here? Why are we going to? Do we have time to do this?" And Qui-Gon says, "Oh, trust the Force. Oh, the Force tells me this boy is important." And then all of a sudden, this boy is Immaculate Conception, you know, so on and so forth.
Conceived by the midichlorians.
That's so cool. You know, I didn't understand any of that nonsense when I was younger, but I don't understand it much better now that I'm older.
Oh, God. Okay, so yeah, I thought like it was midichlorians gave you Force power, but no. Midichlorians are just organisms in your cells that like tell you about the Force. They're just whispering
further
about
into
the,
it. Yeah,
the Force. To
no, they like, give you the Force power and they could talk to you. I guess I don't know. I think it was better when it was just an obscure concept, the Force, instead of saying, "Hey, this syphilis bacteria can really make you strong and good in the light side of the Force, Annie."
I just remember, like, oh, he has to take the test, and the test is like a fucking eye test, where they have the...
they have the stupid Rorschach fucking images, are you kidding me?
I love that, it's like... Also, how come they say he's too old? Okay, maybe, okay, we're getting a little off track, but I guess we were talking about the Force. Sure, okay, I'll give you that. Yeah, fate. Fate. Speaking, yeah. How about that, fate?
There you go,
you know,
yeah.
Because there's a very popular, at least to me, I like a quote... by Luke is talking about the prequels where he's like, oh, you know, Luke was a good pilot, so Anakin's gonna be a good pilot. See, it's like poetry, it rhymes. Talking about, you know, oh, because he's his father. Get it? Because he's his father. It's like, oh, he inherited the, it's like history repeating itself, you see, it's like poetry, it rhymes. It was fate. It was all fate for everything, you know, For Anakin to be found and to become a Jedi and
just
to
because
murder
of
a bunch
famous
of people.
Murder a bunch of children for no reason.
Spoilers! Come on. Gotta save it for episode 2. Come on.
3.
I thought it was 2. Whatever.
3 is the one when he goes on a infant side. No, not infant two, side,
two,
but whatever
yeah,
two, the...
2 is... Yeah, yeah. Is. 2 is sand. 3 is...
2 is sand, yes.
Yeah, and then murder slash high ground.
Yes, the high ground. Murder. Oh,
okay. Man. Oh god.
Okay, so theme speaking, trust the Force, because Qui-Gon will say it a bunch and things work out somehow. And, you know, that's how we meet Anakin, is the Force guided us here, blah, blah, blah. The Force saved Annie from getting destroyed as a 9-year-old in a space battle and, you know, blowing up the Trade Federation's ship. What else? The Force willed it that Anakin would be taken as a Jedi Padawan for Qui-Gon.
Yeah. Qui-Gon literally cheated the fucking dice roll to get Anakin out of Tatooine in the first place. I guess that kind of counts, but I guess... I don't know. Okay, why the fuck?
Oh, sorry, like, Qui-Gon, Kenobi's Padawan learner.
Yeah, what?
Kenobi's still cool to me.
What, like, is it me or is...
why doesn't it work on that specific?
No, I'm fine. I know that's so convenient, but it's also like the whole thing of the Jedi mind trick. Like, isn't that like kind of scummy to like lie and just cheat your way, like? Kind of light mind control your way to do whatever you need to do. Not very
well,
noble.
He could have just, you know, mind control and said, "Hey, give me the boy and his mother." But he did offer money, right? So,
oh god, don't even the whole bet. There was like how many bets were going on? Okay, okay,
yeah, they doubled down a lot. Yeah.
Anyway, other theme taxes. Taxes is bad, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, don't let those Asian-esque aliens overtax you. Just fucking shoot them on sight. Do not allow.
In politics. Oh, wait. I wrote a spoiler. Wait, I can't have that one. Nope. Nope. That was...
I mean, they kind of reference, right? They're pretty on the nose on it. Cause like, yeah, I know, because Yoda...
Was it the... Was it, Was it the apprentice or the master? I guess we'll have to know. Cut straight to Palpatine's face.
Yeah, like they're not even really being subtle that Palpatine is going to become the emperor, right? But you know, I think that's actually kind of an interesting thing to do because
It's a fun little plan he's got going on.
Because for those who saw the original trilogy, right? It's like it's what prequels do when they kind of show the build up to these characters and what they do in the final trilogy. So I thought it was actually, I think it's maybe a little too on the nose, but it is interesting that they're connecting that Palpatine is the Emperor and he's playing both sides.
Yeah, out of all the characters, I think Palpatine's the most enjoyable. Like, maybe not yet until he goes full monster mode. Just full on, like, ultimate power.
Unlimited power.
Unlimited. Yeah.
Do it. Do it. I was watching some of those prequel scenes because I was like, okay, now I'm kind of jazzed up for these Star Wars prequel movies. But I digress.
Anyway, let's get. Oh, tonally.
Oh, it's it's a PG movie, it's a kids movie. So,
but it also has like 80% of like boring talky politics of just talking about trade federations.
Right? It's kind of confusing.
And then we cut to like Jar Jar stipping in doo doo. Yeah, I just don't know. Speaking of characters, unless you want to expand on that.
No, you're right. Tonally speaking, it's meant to be a kid's movie, so it's lighthearted for the most part. They do have stakes in it, right? Like, is the battle with Darth Maul and such. And I do want to mention, if there's anything that the Star Wars movies does correctly, is I think they build up, or rather, they highlight their notable moments extremely well. Like when Darth Maul came down the elevator and it opens up and he's right there and they go straight to his music. I thought that was actually a kind of cool scene.
It's a cool moment, but it's also, we barely know anything about Darth Maul himself.
That's the problem, right? Is that,
barely know who he is and what. Like, we just know he's evil.
Why he matters. Yeah, why he
all
matters.
All we know is that he's evil and Jedi good.
Triumphs over evil. Surprise, surprise. Except for the later movies. Oh, actually, something I do want to say is, do they ever recognize who the Phantom Menace is?
His face I'm making? Yeah.
No, but, like, look. I think it... I don't know if this is intentional or not. I like to think it is, but at first I thought the Phantom Menace is meant to apply to Darth Maul, right? Because I thought they called him that. But maybe the Phantom Menace is actually meant to be Palpatine because he's playing both sides of the ball, right?
That makes the most sense, I guess.
So, I mean, I like to think that's intentional. I'm not sure if it is. But if it is intentional, I think that's actually a really neat directing trick there. Because for those who didn't see the prequels, they're introduced to Palpatine and, you know, there's this air of unease, so they don't know, is he good, is he bad, so on and so forth. So he really, truly is a Phantom Menace because he acts as the newly elected Supreme Chancellor, but he is also acting as Sidious.
And I will say, however, okay, it's a cool premise.
Hey, did you ever see that Rise of Skywalker final movie?
No, because I think it's like, isn't it like 3 hours? He comes back, right?
I think it is.
Like his ghost comes back? His zombie comes back?
Or something? Is zombie like cloning clone. Or some shit? I thought it was so bullshit, man. And then they retconned so many things. They didn't finish storylines. Finn got cucked super hard and he didn't even acknowledge it. But...
aw. That's unfortunate.
And then, you know, for people, I guess maybe there was shippers for it. I mean, there's always shippers for it, but... I'm just throwing more spoilers out there, but fuck that movie.
Fine.
Low key.
That's fine. Go for you.
The Rey / Kylo shippers got a hard on during the movie. And then Kylo faded into dust for some reason, but I can't remember the reasoning for it. I don't know. It was a weird movie. And it kind of sucked because they had the whole crux of the movie prior to that episode. Shit. Episode 8. Yeah, they saw Rey going through the character arc of, hey, I don't have this distinct lineage, but it doesn't matter. I decide my fate, which is actually a really cool theme and arc, right? But then they just fucking shit on that and be like, oh, you're actually a Sidious. Congratulations.
Oh, it's like Naruto then, where Naruto's whole point was supposed to be he comes from nothing, he's a nobody that rises to power, but it's like, oh wait, no, he had, your dad was like a super god Hokage, it was super cool, and yeah.
Oh, and your mom is also from a super legendary clan, and that's why you have the nine tails.
Okay.
Fuck. Is this just space Naruto? Wait, no, that's an incorrect statement, because Naruto does go into space. Did you not know that?
Isn't it like Kaguya or whatever? I don't know.
Naruto goes into space, in case you didn't know. Yeah, like this really cool ninja show where they had these interesting battles where you outwit your opponent by using ninja magic. Like, yeah, I know I'm going on a big tangent, but fuck it, I'm gonna do it anyway.
Go for it.
Yeah. In the fight with Zabuza, Naruto, you know, a low-ranked ninja, outsmarted the high-ranked criminal ninja by using tactics where he transforms into a star and then transforms back to normal self to get the jump on him. And I thought that was really cool when I was younger. But now it's just, oh, Dragon Ball shoots lasers and fly around in space. Well, we could do that too. Yeah. Naruto.
Because, you know, when you are on air for like
a million episodes,
like you got up to power level, like eventually it just becomes like god lasers, right?
Yeah, just, I guess like, you're right. I guess you're right.
Unfortunate. But yeah, what are we talking about? Tones, characters?
Talk about the characters? Yeah, characters. All right. So who do you think the main character?
I mean, yeah, I think the best answer has to be Anakin, but yes, it does really bother. It still bothers me, like, why? How come we're not there from the beginning? I feel like he should be the main
first, one of the very first faces you see on screen.
Like, I bet George Lucas was just like, I don't want to copy my original trilogy too much, but also bring back like stupid shit. Like, oh, by the way, he built C-3PO. C-3PO's in there for like 2 minutes. And he's gone. It's like literally like, hey, remember him? Remember R2-D2? Oh my god. I'm like, what's that droid's serial number? Oh, it's R2-D2.
Hey man, you gotta, if you're gonna have prequels, you gotta reference the main series, right?
I don't think you do. No, I don't know. To me, it felt like, at least, especially to C-3PO, because
you feel like it's kind of forced.
Yeah, no, like especially him, because he's literally there for 2 minutes. At least R2-D2 kind of helped Anakin out in the space battle, but no, I guess
they also helped the Naboo ship when they tried to escape.
Yeah, yeah,
the Naboo, so.
Naboo University.
Oh, they also had Jar, not Jar Jar, Jabba.
I remember Jabba. Yeah, okay.
All right. Hey, you remember this guy who made a slave out of Anakin's future daughter? Here he is. The Hutt. Yep.
Anyway, let's talk about Anakin's future wife. Queen Amidala / Padme.
Yeah, so we already talked about this earlier, but she becomes the queen or was always the queen, even though Amidala is treated as the queen for a majority of the movie.
Yeah. I it's really unclear when she's queen and when she's Padme.
Padme the handmaiden, yeah.
She's the queen. She cares about her people, I guess, because she keeps saying that they're suffering, and that's her arc is
My people are suffering.
My people are suffering.
We'll never show any scenes of them suffering, really. Like, maybe a few droids standing around a few pilots, but not any brutal murder or capture.
Oh, wait,
or
I got one, because I think in the beginning she's like, I won't make any moves that will, like, cause a big war, and then later on has a big war due to her action. That's an arc, I guess.
Yeah, she's hypocritical. Great. Fantastic. Like, well, I mean, yeah, you know, to be fair, her hand was forced because she did get invaded, but.
Yeah, I mean, okay, like, all I know about the prequel trilogy, really, is I'm sure a lot of people have seen the Mr. Blanket reviews. Are you aware of?
I am not.
Well, there's basically like old ass.
I'm just looking through my notes, by the way.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, and I think there was a scene in his review where he basically like to compare and contrast the old trilogy to the new one. It's like, okay, you know, describe these characters without using their name, what they look like, or their role. It's like, oh, Han Solo, he's a rogue, he's dashing, he's cocksure, but he's got a heart of gold, right? You know, he's got a set character. All right, what is Padme's character? Describe to me without saying that she's the queen, or yeah,
what are her personality traits? My people are in danger. My people are dying.
She doesn't trust this young boy her entire future of herself and her people, which is kind of fair.
Sure.
She's the Shadow Queen. There you go. I didn't say she was the queen. She's the Shadow Queen for some reason.
That's
why is she the Shadow Queen? I don't know.
Because I thought they were gonna go for it when she is as Padme on the she goes down to Tatooine. Oh, she's gonna learn about other cultures because she's sheltered. She's royalty. She wants to learn more. We get a hint of that, but and I guess she does talk to Anakin.
She does
talk to Anakin a bit, I guess. But other than that,
she sees the 9-year-old boy. And she's like, I can't wait to have that kid's babies and have him force choke me while I'm pregnant on a lava planet.
She sounds like she's been smoking for like 10 years. She's only 14, I think, in the movie.
Yeah.
That's Anyway, moving on, I think. Let's go on to these Jedis. Going to Obi-Wan, which I feel like if Anakin wasn't gonna be in the main guy, like shouldn't I think Obi-Wan would make the most sense? Because we already know he's established as he was Anakin's teacher back in the original trilogy. But I feel like other than doing the fight scenes, when they're on Tatooine, all he does is just sit on the ship and just complains to Qui-Gon as opposed to learning trying to bond with Anakin. Like it really is, it's like, he's his teacher because his teacher died and wanted to train him. And he's like, I guess
his teacher died and did a bitch move of dying wish. Hey, teach this boy.
He teaches boyish, stupid idiot. Like, I don't know, because it's like, don't you want to set up? I imagine the Obi-Wan Anakin relationship is like central, like to the story. So,
and I guess their thinking is like, we'll flesh this out in the next two movies.
Why not have it in all three movies? Why skip out on this one?
Well, I guess in this one, they had to show Obi-Wan didn't even want to teach this little fucking shit, but he kind of was forced his hand because Qui-Gon died like a motherfucker and said, hey, teach this kid.
Because I'm also aware in the beginning of two, so they're already like older. Anakin's like, probably like Obi-Wan's age. He's like a 20s or something.
Early 20s.
We're just like, and like we miss out on all that training, and there's like where they're just talking about like, the good times.
All those times. All
they had, and then without actually, we've never seen any of it. I don't know. Yeah, a lot of big problems is a lot of show, or tell, don't show. Like, we're just told that these things happen. You know, Obi-Wan is, like, I guess Qui-Gon died and he got a bit mad at Darth Maul, I suppose.
He was heckin' mad.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would have liked to seen maybe like a shift in his fighting style, maybe a more reckless, less coordinated. Nah, it's just normal sword fighting.
It's a little more aggressive, if anything.
A little, just a little. Death of his master. He's a bit cross. Anyway, let's get talking about Qui-Gon Jinn, Liam, aka Liam Neeson. I guess he's. Also, like his personality
said, trust in the force. What I say to trust in the force. I determine the even though the force says don't you know, the Force to the other council members says,
"Don't train the boy."
Yeah, the Force tells the boy. But then Qui-Gon's iteration of the Force says, "No, fuck you. This boy deserves to be trained." And I totally am not going to destroy the Jedi Order by having this boy, Anakin Skywalker, who is immaculately conceived, become a Jedi. And that totally won't become a Sith Lord.
Because I think it's kind of implied that he's like a bit of a rebel when Obi-Wan's like, you know, don't defy the council again.
You could be on the council if you stopped being a dick.
Yeah, a bit of that. So I guess there's that. But other than wanting to train Anakin, he doesn't really... Yeah, like you said, like he's trusting the Force, except when it's
inconveniences me. My iteration of the Force matters more.
Oh, God.
Liam Neeson, and you have taken my child. I don't have a lot of skills, but I have enough to murder you really bad.
Yeah, until until he dies. That's his arc.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Just fucking, we spend 30 minutes on a fight scene.
His arc is that he dies. You're terrible. I'm reading this. You're terrible.
Tell me, that's how it ends. That's the end of his literal end of his story.
His arc is his side of the Force is what matters, because Obi-Wan did get stuck with that shithead kid. So
he got what he wanted.
Yeah, Qui-Gon's Force matters, not anyone else's.
Oh, okay. I think.
Hey, green lightsaber. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I like green. It's a cool color. But now I think we gotta talk about
the truest hero of the prequel trilogy.
There's also a quote of George Lucas saying Jar Jar is the key. Because he's a funnier character than we've ever had. AKA, he's going to appeal to children and sell a shit ton of merchandise. So we got to put him in here. That's like what it feels like. That's like why he exists.
No.
Appeal to kids and sell a bunch of toys, which I guess it did.
Yeah. He got banished for being clumsy.
But then he comes back. I guess it's all forgiven because, he was a catalyst.
Yeah, he fosters race relations. He fosters the peace treaty, so apparently that makes him qualified to be a general.
Scenes of him being clumsy as fuck on a battlefield.
And giving up almost immediately. Like, not even a second thought he gives up when he has his, when he's put on his back, essentially.
Like, okay, how does he change? I guess
he accidentally defeated a lot of droids. On accident.
Yeah, I guess. And okay, the scene in the beginning where he meets the Jedi, right? And he's like, I kind of don't want to go back to my city. And then the Jedi just kind of like gonna blackmail him or something. They're just gonna like,
hey, we're gonna get either murdered by droids or we can have you get murdered by your city. So pick your poison.
It's like, I don't know, these Jedi don't seem that nice. I'm just saying.
Dude. The original pilots for the Jedi blew up and died, and the Jedi didn't even give a shit. Like, the beginning of the movie. They didn't even give a fuck. They're like, hey, are our pilots okay? Should we check on them? Say, nah, fuck it. Let's go to Coruscant. They didn't even give it a second thought. They didn't even give it an initial thought.
Like, they're supposed to be keepers of, like, the peace or whatever. And, okay, I think the Jedi are kind of supposed to be... Kind of like how like knights or samurai were, and like they have like a code of like don't show too much emotion. Like Yoda says, fear leads to anger. I think
anger leads to suffering. Oh yeah,
and hate leads to suffering. I guess it does, but I feel like all of these can kind of interchange with each other too.
Hey, I'm gonna send you a really important text that I need you to read on air. Oh, all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Just read the title.
YouTube channel. Jar Jar Binks: An Evil Sith Mastermind Theory. I think I've seen this one float around a couple times.
This is the real reason why Jar Jar is in the movie.
I mean, Jar Jar, let me think. I think I was thinking, like, yeah, he's somehow the cause of the whole...
I mean, he never... Qui-Gon and what's-his-face? Kenobi never would have went to the Gungan city without Jar Jar, right? And then if they didn't go to the Gungan city, they never could have went to the core of the planet to go to...
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure, yeah. They couldn't have they couldn't have ended up on Tatooine to meet Anakin.
Yeah. And so, truly, Jar Jar Binks, the catalyst of the prequels. Oh, and
I mean, he's future spoilers,
you know, Jar Jar Binks is the one who gave the Chancellor supreme power of the Senate. For some reason, he was in charge of that.
I forgot. Yeah, I think that's what
you
I was
know,
thinking.
I was like, what year did that movie come out?
This one, 99.
No. Star Wars Episode 3.
I want to say like 2005 or 6. 7?
2005, you're right. Yeah. So, I was... Hold on. I was 9 years old. I was 9 years old, and I thought to myself, why is Jar Jar Binks the guy with the power to do this? Like, even as a nine-year-old, I thought. I was the same age as quote-unquote Annie in the first movie, and I'm wondering, this seems like a really bad move that Jar Jar has the ability to hand over the Senate to...
Yeah, he's Palpatine. He's some no-name Gungan. Like, they're just gonna take his word. Like, he has no. He got banished. He has no political
power. Being clumsy.
I mean,
but now
I
he's a general, even though he doesn't have any sort of combat experience, formal combat training, or being a general army experience. No, it's like, hey, you kind of fostered this treaty, so I guess you're a general now.
Yeah, no, I think it's kind of funny to me where when Obi-Wan's like, there's got to be more with the just being clumsy, and he's just like, I don't want to talk about it. I hope that implies that he did get people killed before, too, for being clumsy, because I could totally believe it. I want to believe it so hard.
I can believe that.
That's canon. I'm declaring it. Declaring it right now. Okay.
God.
But then I think now it's time to talk about the kid of the hour. His name is Anakin, and he's a human.
Oh, did we mention he was immaculately conceived? That
enough
his mama
times.
Was like, what the hell? Oh, he just came to be. There was no father. By midichlorians.
By midichlorians. I think we've said this at least three times by now. But you
did
know,
you know his midichlorian count? Is
that was
over
the highest. The highest we've ever... Did he give an actual number like that?
Oh, yeah. They said it was over 20,000. I made sure to take note of that. It's even more than Master Yoda. And then they even said... Oh, I've never seen a Jedi with this many to imply. And then Qui-Gon says, neither have I. So I guess it was meant to imply that he's not, quote unquote, destined to be a Jedi, but a quote unquote Sith. But point being is, yeah, this boy has talent and he was conceived in midichlorians. That's how.
Actually, on that note, how come Obi-Wan didn't take Luke's midichlorian count? Back in the prequels, how come that didn't happen? Huh?
Oh, because he could already... The midichlorians in Kenobi's body could already do a self-counter of Luke's midichlorians. You know,
he just kept it to himself. He's like...
Yeah, it's like, yeah, this boy is real good. He's
just
not
like
in
his
the...
Father.
He's just... not in the big doo-doo.
Just like his father, yeah. Oh, God. Anyway, yeah,
Misa
no, Anakin's a kid.
Jar Jar Binks. Misa, your humble servant. Yep.
Anyway, Anakin is played by a child actor who is not very good. I don't blame him that much. Like, really? Honestly, I don't think... He acts like a kid. Like, a kid acting. I'm okay with that. You know? I'm alright with that. I don't really... I'm not into hating on kids in fiction, because I think it's like... Calm down. I'm not going to say he's great. You know, at least he emotes. At least he sounds like he has emotions. Thank God someone does. Him and Jar Jar. Everyone else sounds like so like my people in the city, the Trade Federation, the Senate, the blah, 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 with the Jedi Council.
Those Asian Trade Fed members had some emotions.
Oh, yeah. They're like, I don't want to die. I am not going in there without Jedi. They're going to kill me. Oh, I forgot Samuel L. Jackson's in this movie. And what does he do?
He sits down. There
like, I don't know, Master Yoda. He's also very dangerous. I don't know about this boy. Like, everyone here.
Literally, everybody said, I don't know. So, we shouldn't train him.
Yeah. So at least Anakin is like, he seems happy to be there. You know, until he's not happy because he's got to leave his mom, which, you know, to be fair, for a kid, that's a pretty damn big decision at 9 years old to leave your family.
He just became a Pokemon trainer, man. That's all it is.
He just became a Pokemon trainer, I guess.
Oh, something, you know, going back to the theme of the Force will guide us, an example of that is they were in the center of the Naboo planet, the center's core, and then I think it was Kenobi or Jar Jar, they said, hey, where the fuck are we? And then Qui-Gon chimes in with the Force will guide us bullshit, and you know what? It worked out, even though they almost got eaten.
Almost got eaten like five times.
Yeah, so yeah, it's the Force. Yeah, Force will guide you. Force will guide you to this boy who will actually destroy the balance of the Force.
Anyway,
and make the Sith Lord rule.
But hey, it's cool because he's an ace pilot, right? He built his own pod. He built C-3PO.
Built his own droid, and then single-handedly destroyed the Train Federation ship. What accident?
I would honestly really would be okay if he did that by skill, but the fact that he accidentally pushes the button to turn the droid the thing on and to activate the guns at the right time to save Padme and the people and to go out into the go fly on autopilot to the fucking thing. Like, why not? Just, like, say, fuck it. He's a good pilot. He did it by skill.
Yeah, like, I thought his 20,000 midichlorians made it easier for him to react, apparently, because that's a thing.
Like, you know, maybe he hears about the plan of okay, we're going to attack the droid ship, and he's like, I want to do that. Qui-Gon's like, no, stay there. And then he sneaks off and does it. You know, that makes fine sense. I'd be okay with that. Nah, he's just like, yeah. Anyway, I think... maybe we'll get into these notable moments, into these questions. I wrote a decent amount, as you can see here. Okay,
see,
so
I think it's a good sign when even you are throwing in these plot hole questions.
Okay, so like first off, well, number one, I'm pissed off that the movie's about centered around taxation and trade routes. I thought it was supposed to be offensive.
I heard that was a major gripe for most people, the space politics and such, but there's a part of me that did find it interesting because it kind of speaks to, like, if you have this whole universe and collection of planets of different cultures and people, like, obviously not everyone's going to get along. So just seeing, like, the stagnation of the political system was kind of interesting to me because it speaks to how big the Star Wars galaxy is. But then there's some weird things like, oh, the Senate, we need to capture the queen so she can sign to make this invasion legal to the Senate. And I'm just thinking, what kind of Senate is it legal to have invasions on your own people? You know what I mean? But I guess that's just how it works.
And I think my first question then is what was the Trade Federation? What is their goal? Why are they trying to block trade to Naboo?
Yep, that's a good point. Yeah, because Sidious told us to. He gave us unlimited power.
I told us to do it. I think that's a point I was thinking of when you brought up the whole Phantom Menacing. It's a cool concept of okay, in the big antagonist is a phantom. He's not here, but he is. But it also means like we don't have a clear motive for what's going on, right? Like we see Sidious directing the Trade Federation, but to what end? I guess because somehow creating a blockade around Naboo leads to the queen. Okay, go for it.
I have this. Sidious,
I follow along.
You know, Sidious has the Force telling him, his side of the Force, telling him, if I tell these Asian aliens to pick a blockade around Naboo, then these two Jedis will coincidentally come, who will eventually crash land on Tatooine, and they'll run into this midichlorian baby that I've been expecting. And then I will do a weird or elaborate plot to make this midichlorian baby murder a bunch of other children, and then he'll become a Sith Lord.
Man, the way the forest sounds, like the way you described it, sounds like such bullshit plot device BS.
I wonder why.
Why does he do it? The forest told me to. Genius. Fucking genius. Holy shit.
I know. This movie's so stupid.
I can't, you know. Yeah, no. Everything else doesn't make sense. Yeah. How come the Jedi are in charge of fucking fixing this Trade Federation bullshit? How come though? I thought they were keeping the peace. Yeah. Of the galaxy, so they get sent as ambassadors, but they're supposed to be in secret. They're sent by the Chancellor in secret. How come the droid is like immediately able to tell that they're Jedi? They didn't even bring out the lightsabers. They're just dudes in robes. And she tells the Chinese people, "Hey, yo, they're Jedi." <He's evil. laughs> Sorry.
Funny. No, like, they weren't made to be. I mean, they did seem pretty Asian to me.
Like, that's just a normalized droid. Like, I thought it's supposed to be a secret. I don't know. And then how come, why does Sidious want the Jedi dead? Wouldn't that just cause more of an international incident if two Jedi were found dead on the Trade Federation
on a quote-unquote legal blockade
that are supposed to be sent by the ambassador? Wouldn't that just cause more? Wait,
the part of the reason, like, I think I do appreciate the attempt that there's political bullshit, because it speaks to like that bigger universe, right? But there are some plot holes in it, right? So at least as it appears to me, is so Amidala and Padme are trying to warn the Senate to protect Naboo, to say, "Hey, the Federation, my people are dying, blah blah blah," right?
Sure.
Yeah. So why is it that they need to show evidence of that? Even though the Trade Federation is actively invading the planet, they need, if it's a situation where the Trade Federation can legally invade, you know, by signing a treaty, why does the Senate need evidence? Right? And also, even if they did need evidence, they already have like all these space recordings. It can't be that hard to just, I don't know, take out their space iPhone and record the droids, quote-unquote, "my people are dying" bullshit, right? It can't be that hard.
Yeah. I guess because the communications went out. Also, how come the dude is like, "our communications went out"? That can only mean one thing, invasion. How about, I don't know, you forgot to pay your bills? I don't know.
Power's
gotta
outage.
Be invasion. That too? That's just,
well, it's because the blockade was outside, but no, yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, the blockade that, like, I feel like they kind of got through the blockade pretty easily when they left Naboo the first time. They just had to get their shields up. Yeah. And then when they come back, where's the blockade? They just zoom back to
Naboo. That's a good point. Yeah, that's actually a really good point. Yeah, I didn't even realize that. That's a good observation on you.
Is it like, I don't know, they don't care anymore because they already invaded? What? That's a okay. What else do I got here? Queen need a decoy. Yeah, whatever.
No,
what
does it mean? Fucking immaculate death.
Immaculate conception. At the end, yeah. Why does Yoda? Why does he relent to Obi-Wan to train Anakin? Why did?
Because Qui-Gon.
Because Qui-Gon told him to.
Qui-Gon's Force said it was okay, and he died.
I thought we're not supposed to let our feelings. Jedi are supposed to listen to their feelings. Wait, no, they are. I think, right?
They're supposed to listen to the Force, but they can't let their feelings.
But you gotta feel the Force. You gotta feel the Force.
No, the midichlorians tell them what their feelings are. They don't have their own feelings. Midichlorians.
Because I know this comes later in the second movie when Anakin's trying to get with Padme and he's like, "Oh, I'm not supposed to bang you because we're like celibate knights. We don't fuck.
We're virgin monks. I mean, we're virgin knights."
But I guess I'll wait until.
But let me shoot some midichlorians into you.
Ah, my God. Okay, I think that's a major. Let me go over to my other notes. Yeah, no, oh yeah, why does Qui-Gon bring a kid into the battlefield? That's not safe.
Even though he tells him a bunch of times, "Hey, stay safe."
And how is inside a cockpit of a fighter jet pilot spaceship safe.
Which could go on autopilot and fly into battle, which it does.
How come there was a kid-sized helmet that so happened to be in that in the spaceship?
I thought that was his own helmet.
When did he bring his own helmet?
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't see him.
Oh, then also, like, why did they bring Jar Jar why does Qui-Gon have to bring Jar Jar Binks to, like, what's it called? Tatooine, because I thought it was a sensitive situation, so why would you bring this clumsy fucking...
Yeah, he's like, we need to show discretion and whatever.
Did he bring literally
he brings Jar Jar, a droid that he says are supposed to be there to show him the specs, even though he just uses a little palm thing to show Watto the specs. And the fucking, you know, small teenage girl, you know, that, like, why don't just go by yourself? It would have been easier. They did nothing. What the fuck did they do on Tatooine even? You could have every... Oh, no, wait, no. You need Anakin to meet Padme.
Yeah.
Other than Qui-Gon, like, and I guess Padme. You need Padme to have interaction, I guess, with Anakin. But, like, Jar Jar and R2-D2 do fucking nothing. Tatooine.
No, R2-D2 fucks with C-3PO and tells him that he's naked.
Oh, God.
That was important. That mattered.
Although,
you needed to see this.
The fucking bet going on? Like, so... Okay, so...
They doubled down on the bet.
Okay, so the original bet was that Qui-Gon supplies a pod, which he says he won in a never trade, but in actuality, it's Anakin's pod that he secretly built that Watto wouldn't let him race, right? So that's lie number one.
Shouldn't Watto know about that pod? Because if he actively denied Anakin from racing his own pod, doesn't that mean that Watto would know about that pod so he could deny it in the first place?
Yeah, I guess so. I suppose so.
They're just hanging themselves with their own rope in this fucking script.
And then later on, and then he bets the ship too. He bets the ship for the slaves, right? Yeah. But also, if he wins, if the first one was they're both if he wins.
He wins the ship. No, he wins the ship parts and the boy, and then
but not the mom.
Not the mom. Yeah. I need to have the mom for slavery reasons. So she can get brutally murdered by Tusken Raiders.
Is that what happens?
Yeah, that's what happens.
I didn't know about that. That's good. That's good shit. How come they didn't go back? I'm sure at the end of this movie, they probably got some sort of money that they could have used to go back to Tatooine and save Anakin's mom. How come they didn't do that?
No, but there's no time.
Okay, I think that's all I got. Other than just, you know, questions like, you know, why does Jar Jar sound like this? But, you know, that's, we'll never know the true answer to that.
Why do the Jedi have flash step in the beginning of the movie?
When they go up into the ventilation shaft.
Yeah, when they get assaulted by the droidicas, they're like, the Jedi can't fight these droidicas, and then Qui-Gon says, "Let's get out of here," and they do a literal flash step. Like out of
Yeah. If the Trade Federation guys are trying to kill them with gas, like, why would you open the door willingly? Why not just, I don't know, keep the door closed for a couple hours so the gas has time to work?
Gotta make sure they died early on.
There was even a line that's like, they should be dead by now. Go destroy whatever's left. What the fuck does that mean? Why do you gotta destroy? What's that?
They have to shoot the corpse to make sure it's dead. Because it's a corpse.
Why don't they just use like an odorless or colorless gas that kills people? That exists.
No, but
as opposed to a very obvious.
Children need to understand that this is bad gas. It's not the kind that they fart out of, but the worst kind.
I really don't understand,
like, what's the point of signing an invasion treaty if you're just going to invade anyway, right?
Yeah,
the invasion legal to the council? And if the council, I mean, if the Senate is a type of place that allows invasions, what makes you think that they would assist you in the first place?
So how does that all, Because I think one of the main thing, like, okay, because Palpatine wanted Amidala to do a vote of no confidence to oust the Chancellor Valorum so Palpatine could swoop in. How does that... Is it because it's like...
No, but
does
see,
that tie in the treaty?
Palpatine doesn't say that he wants to be the counselor.
Yeah, no.
But he ends up being the counselor.
Yeah, no, that's his plan. Yeah, but that was ultimately his plan. So how does the treaty play into... to achieving that goal? Because that was obviously one of his end goals, right?
Yeah. Well, I guess I think what the train of thought there was that if Palpatine was the Chancellor, he could be more aggressive and supreme and such, and then protect the Naboo as opposed to Chancellor whatever his name was.
No, I was saying, like, how does... not less, like, what... Never mind, I'm tired. I can't do this.
It's a confusing... It's a mess.
Well, let's just get into the key directing, I think. Oh, boy. I feel like the pacing of this movie is, like, really uneven. I feel like in the beginning, it goes really fast. Like, I don't know that much about Star Wars, but I feel like everything... Like, we move from the Trade Federation ship, and then now we're on Naboo. We meet Jar Jar. We go on the Gungan City. Now we're in Naboo proper. And then... we got to skip the blockade. It's like feels very fast paced, and then it slows to a crawl when we get to Tatooine. So we have to meet Anakin and do pod racing.
We need to meet him, Star Wars Jesus.
Star Wars Jesus. And then it just accelerates into that last part of like four different plot things happening. We got the Gungan army versus the droids. While the starfighters are fighting the droid troll ship, while the Jedi are fighting Darth Maul, while Amidala and her group are invading the throne room. Why does the throne... I love how the throne has a hidden gun cache, too. I love that.
I'm so glad you pointed that out. Yeah, I thought that was strange, too.
Like, jeez, you guys are fucking... You guys are fucking
shotgun
ready.
Politics. You never know. You never know when that bitch Amidala is gonna say Padme needs to be the queen, so we gotta put that bitch in her place and just shoot the fuck out of her, I guess. What?
Yeah, no, my second point here is basically what we've been talking about. We've never see the crisis on Naboo. You know? That's a problem.
We just get told people are dying.
Yeah.
The point of Kenobi, quote-unquote, being on the ship was to prevent the Naboo politicians from contacting Naboo to see the situation. We never get a scene of him actively stopping them. So, really, like Ophi says, he just sits on the ship, really, and listens to Qui-Gon, or he bitches at Qui-Gon.
Basically, yeah.
Other points, like, this movie has, like, two modes, big, dumb action scene, or politics.
Boring politic talk. Yeah, no, you're right.
I guess in theory, it's supposed to balance each other out.
Yeah, I guess it's supposed to be, like, high action, then settle off politics. But it's not like it's back and forth. It's more like, it's high action, then let's do stupid politics for, like, an hour. And now we're back at the action.
Yeah, it's very... very weird stuff. I mentioned before, like, Anakin and Jar Jar are, like, such and tonally so different from the rest of the characters. It seems it just makes it, it feels bizarre.
Missy, your humble servant.
And then, yeah, the last part, yeah, I guess Anakin is the main character, but I feel like we don't really, as an audience, get to connect with him as much as I think we should, you know?
No, he's horny for Padme. What do you mean? This 9-year-old boy. Yep.
Like, come on, do you have to have this age gap? Like, just, it makes it weird. I don't know, to me. I mean, I know ultimately, you know, 5 years age difference, you know, that's not that bad.
But as a 9-year-old?
As a 9-year-old, it's weird. Like,
a little bit.
Make him like 10 or something, at least. Well, okay, I guess one more year wouldn't make him that much. Whatever, you know what I mean. Whatever, they're fine and adults in the second one, so who cares? So,
and Sen.
That's all I got for key directing.
But did you see the new Star Wars meme that's like coming up, like that resurfaced?
Which one?
They keep rewrite. It's like it's Anakin and Padme when they're in the field.
Oh yeah.
I'm
like,
That one's pretty good. I like that one.
I can't think of some examples, the specific ones I'm thinking of, but I know which one to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, when Padme's like, doing better, right? And then Anakin's like just just stares at her.
Yeah, see, that's the only positive I can think of.
sand.
Fucking sand. Okay.
Speaking of key directing, yeah, it's uneven, right? And there's not really a. There's a lot of shit. It's uneven, and there's a lot of shit going on, so it's hard to follow. Because everyone's got to get your shit in with all the prequel stuff, right? You got to have the Tusken Raiders. You got to have a Jabba the Hutt, Jabba the Gut. We got to get all our shit in.
Yep. Yep. Let's talk about some of these effects. I actually don't think the CGI itself looks that bad.
Some of that actually looks really good, right? Like, they had a shot of a sunset at Coruscant and such. Like, there were some really good scenes there. But there are some scenes where it just looks horrid, like...
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Favorite.
There's some scenes where Jar Jar Binks just doesn't even look finished. It looks like they forgot to finish the animation on him.
Yeah, no, he doesn't look great. And in my opinion, a lot of the alien designs, like, are just... Like... I'm fine with, like, not everything has to be like beautiful and pretty and, you know, attractive, but like, I don't know, it's just like everything looks strange. Like, I get that's the point, right? They're fucking aliens. And I don't even know if this is just me personally, but I just got sick of looking at the movie eventually. everything was so fucking ugly. But nah,
music-wise, good. Yeah, the music's always good.
It's
right?
John fucking Williams. He's still doing it. Duel of the Fates. I love Duel of the Fates. Like, I know it's a big meme song, but like, I think it's actually a pretty hype track. I got excited when I heard it in this movie. I'm like, oh shit! I thought it was only in the lava scene in 3.
I have the high ground.
I do have the high ground.
It's over, Anakin.
Actually, speaking of the fight scene here, where the fuck were they fighting? What was this, like a power reactor room? That kind of looks like
they were.
Has a bottomless pit, like where Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker fought. It's like poetry or rhymes.
Oh god damn it! You are the worst.
Yeah, maybe I am. Maybe. I am, but you know what? I think maybe might be time to wrap it up.
Oh, before we do that, I would like to throw in any other notable moments you want to mention. I do want to say the opening Star Wars music with the iconic yellow text. I think it's appropriate to have, and it's nice because it's easily recognizable that it's Star Wars, right? And it coincides with the series. Yeah, I thought when the droid army activated in the battle against
That was pretty cool.
That was kind of cool, right? how did you feel about the fight choreography, since we're still kind of in effects?
I mean, the fight choreography, when it comes to like real life fight action scenes, I don't know that much. I'm either gonna think like it's good or not. It was fine.
I think that's a valued opinion as a general audience.
Acrobatic stunts, right. I guess.
Because I thought, for the most part, it was pretty good. And then there were times when it was just lazy, like, you know, swing my hands around.
Some of it does just feel like we're just going to actively swing at each other's swords, because otherwise we're just going to kill each other, realistically.
Yeah.
So we got to... parrying.
We got to... What's it called? Put some time into this fight, really sweeten it.
we gotta give it the length. Gotta go at least like 20 minutes.
All right, Flair. But the point, and then I remember I saw Darth Maul go for a kick, and then he totally whiffed it. But you know, Kenobi, it's a movie fight, so Kenobi's gotta take that shit anyway. But no, overall, I thought the fight scenes were decent. I do think, you know, and this isn't a problem with just this particular movie. I think it's with a lot of the prequel movies, but a lot of the lightsaber fights. Sometimes it looks like characters don't have stances when they fight, and you know, I ain't no like black belt or nothing, but when people do like martial arts or they go for a fighting pose, which that's what the Jedi Knights are, right? They're martial artists and lightsaber arts. Emphasis on the arts, you know, there should be like some sort of base stance that they use or varying stances, right? And sometimes it just seems like you said, they're just swinging at each other's swords because this fight has to last 20 minutes. Otherwise, people will be mad, right?
Gotta have a big, big, flashy lightsaber fight, yeah? We come, that's what Star Wars is, you know? Now, I was thinking about that scene. I kind of wish they could have thrown in some dialogue, maybe. Maybe Darth Maul could have let something slip about who he works for, why he's doing it, why he's here.
Yeah.
And had some back and forth about light versus dark. Qui-Gon's like, no, you'll never win.
Have some drama to movie drama to it.
It's just like, whatever. They're just fighting because he's in black and we're not.
And he has a red lightsaber, so that's not bueno.
He does got a double lightsaber. That's what I know. That's what most people know him for.
And getting chopped in half by Obi-Wan. Yeah.
I just remember that he showed up in the Solo movie, too. I forgot about that.
Oh, did he? I didn't even know that. I didn't see that movie.
You didn't? Honestly, non-ironically, that's like my favorite Star Wars movie I've seen.
Is it actually pretty good?
I thought it was okay. I mean, I know. Yeah. I've heard like a lot of people shit on it, but I don't care. You know, I don't care much about real Star Wars.
Yeah, see?
Fair quote, enough. Unquote, real Star Wars.
I think Rise of Skywalker is honestly just a terrible movie.
Yeah, that's fair, yeah.
Like, you know how Endgame, I know you didn't watch it, but Endgame was a good culmination of all the Avengers-related movies?
I fucking hope it would be. It's like, what?
Yeah, yeah. But like, how are you going to have, like, how are you going to reboot the Star Wars series and then have like a shit finish like that? And it's like, oh, we don't know where to go, so I guess we'll just we'll literally resurrect Palpatine's fucking corpse just so we can have a finish to this movie.
Hey, remember Palpatine? He was cool. Remember him?
Yeah. Remember how he was at the end of the episode 6? We'll make him at the end of episode 9.
It's like poetry rhymes.
Ah, fuck.
I think that's maybe it's a good time to
it's time to wrap it up.
Bring this stanza to a close. Am I right? This line of poetry that is the spotter pod.
Holy.
Closing thoughts. I mean,
you know, this movie tries to do a lot of things.
It's very ambitious.
Right? Yeah.
I don't want to ever like hate on a movie or anybody who wants to do something different. This was certainly very different especially for Star Wars. I'm not going to hate on it for trying to be different. And I don't even know if I say I hate the movie. Like, I don't think it reaches into like, Ready to Rumble or Last Airbender. I don't think it reaches that level of like, fuck. I mean, it was long, it was confusing, but I don't think I hate it, you know?
Yeah, like, that's fair.
There's no. It's there. I guess if you like Star Wars, you should watch it, I guess, because it's a mainline Star Wars.
Yeah.
I guess, but if you have no real interest, I don't think you need to see it.
I think for people who aren't, you know, enthralled with Star Wars, like if I said, hey, Joanna, let's watch this movie, I think she would just give me a dirty ass look, right? But no, yeah. I think you hit the nail on the head with that analysis of who this movie pertains to. And honestly, this movie, like, it tries to set up, you know, callbacks to the original trilogy, and then it tries to set up its own stories at the same time. And then the pacing issues are off, and sometimes the animation's a miss. You know, if anything, they are really good at emphasizing key moments, right? Like when Darth Maul appears or the pod race. Like, I thought those were highlighted moments that were really interesting, right? But if you look at the, if you think about how the progression of the script goes, it's, you know, it's a mess. put it politely.
No, I think there's also, and one last quote, I think it's like from a behind the scenes thing. It's not Lucas himself, but it's like another guy who's talking about how every frame is so dense with stuff, with information, with characters, with effects. It's so dense. There's just so much packed in to every frame. And like, you know, I don't want to knock on too much. I've heard a lot. One of the main points about the Plinkett reviews is how an over-reliance on CGI and green screen. And honestly, I don't feel that. I didn't grow up with the old movies, so I think I'm not as like biased to like more practical stuff. I don't think that's the main problem. To me, the main problem is it's a fucking, the plot is a mess and the characters are boring as shit. Like that's at the end of the day, that's it.
Behind that, yeah.
Like I'm fine with a lot of the CGI usage. I'm okay with it, but I think there's another quote. I love bringing up these quotes of like old Lucas, like young Lucas saying, you know, a CGI without a good story, or a special effect without a good story is very interesting. And like I think that's what's happened here. Like the CG is, and fight choreography and action scenes are technically impressive. But everything else is kind of a mess, you know? So yeah, it's definitely interesting. And I kind of want to watch the other two. So I guess it succeeded in a weird morbid sort of way. So
hey, maybe so watch Return it. Return of the Spotter Pod, or rather it'd be Spotter Pod Clone Wars. Check it out. It's in the near future, folks.
It'll be just as good as a Spider-Man Clone Wars, right?
Oh man. Oh god!
Oh shit!
Dude, how much do you know about that?
Spider-Man I just know it ends with some dude named Ben Reilly being like, "Nope, that guy, not him, me, I'm the one."
Didn't they actually hint that Ben Reilly is the original Peter Parker too?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, that's. I think they straight up say Peter Parker's a fucking fake. Ben Reilly is the original. I think.
Hey, Scarlet Spider is a cool skin. Hey,
he's a cool ass suit, though. You got that right.
You know what's not a cool suit, but probably a cool podcast? It's us. But hey, we're not a weekly podcast, but we pretend to be. Catch you on the next one.
See ya. Peace.